The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Just standing there.
Hi, it's just Dr. Daniels, and welcome to Healing with Dr. Daniels. It is Sunday, June 19th, 2016, and tonight's topic is breakfast, the most important meal of the day, but not for the reasons you think. So today, I'm going to talk about the history of breakfast in the United States, how it became the most important meal of the day. And, of course, the question is, important to whom, and how does that impact your health? And, as always, think happens. Now, usually, I start by quoting the medical experts and what they say and what they've published. But sometimes, you have to take the truth where you find it. And today, we find the information at Priceonomics. Yes, sir, Bob. Priceonomics. And as the title suggests, it's not a health website. Correct. It is not a health website. This is a website about economics. And here is where they talk about how breakfast became a thing. Yes, a thing. And the reason this caught my eye, of course, is because we all hear the expression, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And throughout my life, as a child, my parents took this pretty serious. And they had six kids, so this meant that they did everything they could to encourage us to eat a hearty breakfast before we went to school. Now, since they both worked, that was a bit of a challenge. So they had to provide really all the breakfast fixings. And so I picked oatmeal as my breakfast, a small bowl of oatmeal. And usually I could skip breakfast because it wasn't exactly supervised. And so I skipped breakfast most of my life as a child. And then as a young adult, I was a student in college and medical school and a resident. And during those times, I skipped breakfast every single day. And when I graduated from medical school, I was in much better health than I would say at least 95% of my classmates. So after 4 years of medical school, most of my classmates, say lion's share, had a tremendous deterioration of their health, some so bad they even had to take an extra year to graduate. And so as a doctor, being bombarded with what amounted to a government guideline or edict to eat breakfast and urge my patients to eat breakfast, it didn't really hold true with my personal experience. In other words, my personal experience being that skipping breakfast worked out pretty well. So let's see what Priceonomics says. So Priceonomics says, what you may not know is the origin of this ode to breakfast. It's a 1944 marketing campaign launched by, get this, Grape Nuts, the manufacturer, General Foods, to sell more cereal. And during the campaign, which marketers named Eat a Good Breakfast, Do a Better Job, grocery stores handed out pamphlets that promoted the importance of breakfast. While, of course, radio advertisements announced that nutrition experts say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Now, of course, these nutrition experts were no doubt hired by the industry. Like all experts, they have an employer. So ads like these were key to the rise of cereal, a product invented, okay, that means manufactured, that means processed, by men like John Harvey Kellogg. And he was a deeply religious doctor who believed that cereal would both improve Americans' health and keep them from desiring sex. Now, Before cereal, in the mid-1800s, American breakfast was not that different from other meals. So wealthier Americans, middle and upper class, ate eggs and pastries and pancakes, but also oysters and boiled chickens and beefsteaks. So it was just another meal. And the rise of cereal established breakfast as a meal with distinct foods and created the model of processed, ready-to-eat breakfast that still largely reigns. And it all depends on advertising and convincing you that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Now, the next topic says the beguiling history of breakfast. Beguiling. Okay, right there, that means you're being fooled, you're being lied to, and they use a euphemism, beguiling, which of course is deceptive, basically just not true. And so the history of breakfast is filled with basically lies. So the modern era of breakfast begins with cereal, and before its invention, breakfast was not as standard or routine. Now, the Romans believed it was healthier to eat only one meal a day. These are the Romans. These are some, you know, brilliant people, did some great things, wrote some good works, did a lot of good art, and they did not eat breakfast. So breakfast was not standard or routine. So that's what the Romans said, and Native Americans writes in, get this title, The Invention of the American Meal. Yes. So the American Indians ate bits of food throughout the day and didn't have any set meals. And sometimes they would fast for days at a time. Of course, when you're between kills, you know, hunting is sparse or difficult, or the weather's inclement, and you're looking for weeds and herbs to eat, and maybe there aren't so many. So they would eat throughout the day, small little bits of food, and then not eat for several days at a time. In any case, breakfast was not part of their routine. And then medieval Europe, historians write two different stories. One, breakfast was a luxury for the rich, or only a necessity for laborers, or skipped. In any case, it was not considered part of any health ritual or in any way beneficial for health. And so many colonists ate breakfast. They were quick, rushed events. It took place after hours of morning work. So you'd get up, work for several hours, and then catch a quick snack and go on with the rest of the day's activities. And so breakfast, then, is a fairly modern invention. And so historians agree that breakfast became a daily, first-thing-in-the-morning institution once workers moved to cities and became employees who worked a set schedule. This is important. And so this whole ritual of breakfast is really part of being basically a worker, employee, whose schedule is set by somebody else. So in Europe, this first began in the 1600s, and breakfast achieved near ubiquity, which is like everyone did it, during the Industrial Revolution, with people going off to a full day's work, and then breakfast became a thing. Now, there is already a tradition of certain foods like bread, ale, cheese, porridge, or leftovers being cooked or eaten in the morning. Although some historians spend little time describing breakfast. In other words, it didn't seem to be much evidence of its existence. And so the question is, why are eggs a staple of brunch? So searching for the eggs breakfast link takes one back to early history. Bible scholar John Rice describes Mary of Nazareth preparing eggs for a breakfast attended by Jesus. So what about pancakes? Well, paleontologists, that's pretty far back, speculate that humans ate primitive pancakes 5,000 years ago. More recently, Thomas Jefferson enjoyed crepe-like pancakes. And of course, that gives credence to the theory that breakfast was something enjoyed basically by the more affluent. So what it's looking like then is that breakfast has become a commercial event. Once breakfast became fully institutionalized, the American breakfast grew increasingly like dinner. So Americans wanted meat, and potatoes, and cake, and pie. And so Lowell Dyson rights of food preferences in 19th century America, this mania extended to breakfast and dishes like beefsteaks, roast chickens, joined staples like cornbread, flapjacks, and butter on the breakfast tables. So this was not a recipe for good health. Americans complained chronically of indigestion. I know many of you remember the Alka-Seltzer commercials, if you're old enough, from the 50s and 60s, where this overweight guy who's belching says, "Oh, I can't believe I ate the whole thing." And so Americans complained chronically of indigestion, which early nutritionists and reformers named dyspepsia. And magazines and newspapers overflowed with rhetoric about this condition and what to do about it. And it was the equivalent in the 1800s of our obesity debate today. So it was determined that Americans needed a simpler, lighter breakfast. Of course, no one would dare say no breakfast. But what they got was cereal. And so the invention of cereal occurred in the 1800s. And so before cereal represented our over-sugared, over-processed relationship with food, Americans viewed cereal as a health food. And so people got, I guess you could say, sucked in with the idea that it would be a health food. And its origins lie in health sanitariums run in the mid to late 1800s by some familiar names, like Dr. John Harvey Kellogg. It was a reform period when doctors were still often called quacks, germ theory was just gaining prominence, and Dr. Kellogg's favorite medical tool was a bath. His cures resembled spa treatments, like hydrotherapy was popular at the time. And so Kellogg and his peers believed they could improve America's health by changing their diets. Sound familiar? They believed that too much meat and too many spices had negative effects, and they preferred whole grains to white breads. A dietary reformer named Sylvester Graham invented, of course, a graham cracker in 1827, another piece of processed food. And James Jackson, who did not allow red meat at his sanitarium, invented a cereal that he named Granula in 1863, and James Kellogg developed granola, or cornflakes, in the 1890s. And so this is how breakfast evolved. So the original versions were Spartan affairs. They weren't sweet. People had to soak the granola in milk just to make it edible, and critics called granola wheat rocks. And Kellogg's versions were not much better, but people wanted them. And the first year the product was available, saw more than 50 tons of manufactured cereal sold in spite of primitive production facilities. So Kellogg, a biographer, writes of his cornflakes, "Soon cereal manufacturing companies sprang up all over the country. And by 1903, there were 100 cereal companies in Kellogg's town of Battle Creek alone." I actually went to Battle Creek, to his sanitarium, as a matter of fact. So it was a full-on craze. Cereal was seen as a solution to the nation's dyspepsia. And since it didn't need to be cooked, it was a convenient food at a time when the Industrial Revolution meant people had less time and less access to a kitchen or a farm. And so this was really, this whole breakfast thing was a very important step in separating people from the preparation of their food. And so the most successful food trends combine science and morality. And the invention of cereal was no exception. So Kellogg termed his lifestyle more exercise, more baths, simpler, blander foods. He called it biologic living. He gave lectures and wrote long tracts to promote it. They described the modern diet as unnatural and too diverse. And to eat biologically, he wrote, is simply to eat scientifically, to eat normally. And just like a modern-day paleo devotee, he promised a return to man's natural diet, except his answer was cereal. In other words, something totally unnatural. But Dr. Kellogg believed that eating this way would solve more than dyspepsia and indigestion. Like Dr. Graham with his graham cracker, Kellogg believed Americans' meat-centric diets led them to carnal sins. Yes, serious sins. So highly seasoned meats, stimulating sauces, dainty tidbits, endless variety, wrote Kellogg, who's a vegetarian, irritate the nerves and react upon the sexual organs. And so in Dr. Kellogg's mind, touching one's organs was a shameful act linked to bad health. And overstimulating diets, disease, and sexual acts formed an insidious cycle. And eating cereal would help Americans stop this and stop desiring sex. And so he said, this is what he said to his followers, how many mothers, while teaching their children the principles of virtue in the nursery, unwittingly stimulate their passions at the dinner table until vice becomes a physical necessity. Now, he also recommended circumcision and tying children's hands with rope to prevent sexual urges. And so this is where we are getting the origin of breakfast. And so John Kellogg was a true believer, and during his lectures, he explained how people could make their own cereal at home. And so this is a quote from him. "You may say I'm destroying the health food business here by giving these recipes," he said at one talk, "but I'm not after the business, I'm after the reform." So like any food trend, the marketers took over the purists' work. So Dr. Kellogg felt especially bitter about this development. So two most successful cereal entrepreneurs were his brother, Will Kellogg, one of his former patients, C.W. Post, who Dr. Kellogg accused of stealing the cornflakes recipe from his safe. And that was a bitter dispute, by the way, between Post and Kellogg. And so they each created cereal companies, a Kellogg company, and Postum's cereal company, now called Post Cereals. But both of them became wildly successful thanks to two key ingredients, sugar and advertising. Now, this is important to understand. So you have a meal, breakfast, now being introduced as a virtual necessity and being packed full of sugar and processed foods, promoted, of course, by advertising. And so by the 40s, Post Cereals fully coated its cereal with sugar. So the Kellogg brothers had long argued over adding sugar. Dr. Kellogg believed sugar was a vice in his pure creation, while Will Kellogg, his brother, thought it was necessary to improve the taste of their horse food. After some hand-wringing, the Kellogg company copied Post and coated cornflakes with sugar. So still, cereal kept its health food reputation thanks to a constant barrage of advertising. And so the manufacturers, like Post, claimed that cereal cured everything, up to malaria and appendicitis. And so the proclamations on today's cereal boxes that they are a good source of vitamin D date back to Americans' obsession with vitamins in the 20s. Of course, they're still obsessed with vitamin. And so to appeal to children, the cereal companies pioneered the use of cartoon mascots, characters like Tony the Tiger and Snap, Crackle, Pop, the Three Rice Krispies brothers. And these first appeared in the 30s. So advertising was the key to the cereal business, whether they involved cartoon characters or wacky health claims. The important thing was to establish a brand for each cereal. And so C.W. Post said, "The sunshine that makes the business plant grow is advertising." And he ultimately earned $800 million just with Post cereal. And so the most important meal of the day, cereal and breakfast food, there is a number of reasons why the battle over breakfast is particularly ferocious. First is that any company that convinces you to eat their cereal, Pop-Tarts or bagels, absolutely owns your breakfast because most people eat the same breakfast every day. So studies have found that consumers have strong brand loyalty to breakfast foods like cereal. So breakfast choices are likely more habitual because of the strength of morning routines. And so ads by the chicken lobby may convince people to eat a bit more chicken, but an avalanche of Tony the Tiger ads can get tens of thousands of children to eat Frosted Flakes every morning for years.
No, please don't go.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Humidity, odors, and air pollutants are building in your basement and crawl space, turning your home into an uncomfortable, unhealthy environment. Stop fighting this yearly battle. Get a Wave moisture control unit like Kathy did.
The smell is gone and the basement is now clean and livable. We created a very nice room in the basement and we love being able to spend time there.
Listen to what Paul had to say.
I have COPD and restricted airway disease. Since I put this ventilation unit in, it's made an incredible difference in my breathing and the air quality in only 3 weeks. It has amazed me. My son has asthma and lives in our finished basement. He has stopped coughing already.
Unlike dehumidifiers, Wave units are energy efficient, have no buckets of water, and will expel harmful gases and pollutants. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, call 888-618-WAVE. That's 888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. And today's topic is breakfast, the most important meal. And so another feature is with breakfast is that while some Americans cook breakfast, people's desire for a fast, convenient meal means that many breakfast foods are packaged, in other words, processed products that rely on advertising. You can glean this from the structure of the cereal industry. Cereal is extremely easy to make, a fact that angered Dr. Kellogg, who patented his creation but failed to prevent others from copying it. Yet, just a few companies dominate the market. As the Federal Trade Commission once complained in an antitrust lawsuit, competing with the cereal giants is difficult because they create dozens of cereal brands and promote trademarks through intensive advertising, which results in high barriers to entry into the cereal market. The magic of Snap, Crackle, Pop, and all the other advertisers for cereals, Pop-Tarts, yogurts, and breakfast bars, is high profits from an easily imitated product. And so the final reason why the marketing battle over breakfast is so fierce is that corporations have for decades seen it as the meal that offers the most opportunity to wring out more food spending from consumers. I'll repeat that. Corporations have for decades seen it as the meal that offers the most opportunity to wring out more food spending from consumers. So in other words, to explain this very clearly, if you have a person who's skipping breakfast or eating lunch or eating dinner, they're going to eat a fixed amount of food each time they sit down to eat, and that's pretty much it. And so if you're targeting lunch and the person's already eating lunch, they're going to substitute maybe a new food for something they're already eating and stop eating something else. But it becomes a zero-sum game, not much growth in the market for either lunch or dinner because people are already eating them. But if you can get them to add a third meal and then totally determine what they eat at that meal, that's a huge profit center. You can literally get someone to double their intake for the day. In other words, they were eating before lunch and dinner, two meals. Now they're going to add a third meal. And if you can determine exactly what they eat at that meal, then you've got a pretty lucrative market there. So why fast food chains focus more on advertising Egg McMuffins and White Castle Belgian waffles and Taco Bell breakfast burritos? So as industry members explained in a Time article, throughout the fast food world, lunch and dinner sales have been flat for years, while breakfast sales have climbed steadily. So you can find the same logic in cereal makers' 1944 marketing strategy, the one that coined the phrase, breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Now, the other thing, too, to realize, of course, is when people started eating breakfast religiously, they started getting indigestion and all kinds of health problems. And so, actually, like with most advertising and propaganda, the truth is exactly the opposite of what is communicated in the advertising. So breakfast is the grocer's most promising target, one of the ad men explained. Lunch and dinner in the average American home are fairly well set. And so did the marketers and the executives genuinely believe in the value of promoting a cereal breakfast as healthy? Nutritionists had debated back and forth for decades whether America's increasingly desk-bound workforce needed a hearty breakfast. By the time of the 1944 campaign during World War II, government nutritionists had sided with the pro-breakfast camp in the interest of improving the health of Army recruits. In other words, this is really a recommendation for young, growing people who are getting ready to go to war. And they teamed up with cereal companies to suggest that everyone eat a good breakfast of whole grain cereal and fruit. Nutritionists are less certain about the value of this advice today. Now, just as an aside, so I've been really researching this whole issue, not so much breakfast, but whole grains, way back in the mid-1990s. So I was helping people get rid of their hypertension with diet. So the question was, if I put them on whole grain bread, would that lower their blood pressure? And it turns out in the British Medical Journal, they had done a very nice study with 16,000 hypertensives, switching them to whole grain bread. They called it whole meal bread back then. And they found it did not help lower blood pressure. When we come back, we'll talk more about the nutritional value of breakfast.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a seven-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendovite. Get the dependability of Extendovite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices, and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling, and you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Give such delight.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. I'd like to remind people we have a great chat going on at healingwithdrdaniels.chatango.com, and people can call in at 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443, and we'll be taking questions at the top of the hour. Okay, so nutritionists are less certain about the value of this advice today. In other words, the advice that breakfast is the most important meal. Those studying the issue say studies that supported the importance of breakfast for weight management have been contradicted by more rigorous examinations. In other words, initial studies probably done by the industry as usual. This is marketing, but we see in medicine the same thing. The initial studies put forth by those with an economic interest are soon contradicted when an impartial party repeats the study or takes a second look. And so breakfast is not important for weight management. And studies that examine, get this, the importance of school children eating breakfast have failed to show that breakfast helps them focus on their work. This is important. So we have school lunch programs all over the United States. I'm sorry, school breakfast programs. And what are these school breakfast programs about? Obviously not about the health of the children or about their marks or about their work or their grades. It is simply separating the children from their parents and having the government feed their these children and have these children look to the government as a source of nutrition and protection instead of their parents. So it's literally undermining the loyalty the children might have towards their parents. That's one. The next thing is these school breakfasts. My kids went to public school when they got older, high school. He had a breakfast program. And they actually opened up the breakfast program to everybody, not just people who were poor. So my kids said, oh, Mom, I want to go to the school breakfast, you know, because my friends are there. And so I said, well, let me go check out school breakfast. Oh, my God. The food was absolutely atrocious. And, of course, it was all processed. And so what's happening then is these children are having their health destroyed by the breakfast program. They're having their loyalty to their parents totally destroyed, because we would always have breakfast at home, or I would cook something for the kids. I lost my license by that time. And so I was home. And so they were going to go eat breakfast at school instead of me cooking it at home. So I figured, well, let me go check this out. They encouraged parents to show up. And I couldn't believe it. And so the kids went once or twice and then decided they'd rather eat at home. So the benefits of breakfast from a health point of view, from children being able to concentrate, better performance, weight loss, has simply not materialized, as you can see. But, as they say, you won't hear that from marketers. Breakfast is the most skipped meal in America, which means money on the table for the food industry. And so it's always a good idea. This is these article writers at Priceonomics. It is always a good idea to remain skeptical of the claims made in advertisements and the ideas expressed by organizations with vested interests. But with breakfast foods, skepticism is especially necessary, since advertising is the foundation of the entire ready-to-eat industry. The incentives for deception are strong. And they say, be vigilant, breakfast is the most marketed meal of the day. And so the real deal here then is breakfast being the most important meal of the day is simply a Madison Avenue marketing message to literally increase the amount of food people eat by 50%. Now, if we take a look at this and we see that the amount an adult is eating is increased by 50%, and that amount that they're eating is all processed, it's pretty clear and pretty easy to see that simply adding breakfast to your meal schedule is responsible for obesity, responsible for increased ingestion of processed foods. And so this breakfast, adding this meal, we'll call it breakfast, to the eating schedule has had a devastating effect on people's health. And in the 1800s, it created a whole epidemic of dyspepsia, for which, of course, we have H2 blockers, proton pump inhibitors, antacids, just a whole bevy of drugs, and billions of dollars of just a whole medical industry built around a condition, call it dyspepsia, just simply because, historically, we can trace it back to adding breakfast to the meal schedule. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Now, just in case you had any questions about this, let's take a look at historic trends. So if we take a look at prevalence of obesity, prevalence of obesity started rising in the mid-1800s. In other words, the advent of cereal and the advent of breakfast, when breakfast was first being marketed. And with this came increase in obesity and increase in dyspepsia. And so the obesity trend, we go from 1900 now, it increases steadily from about 4% all the way up to 14% in around 1970s. Well, in 1970s, the government came out with some even more, I guess you could say, damaging guidelines. And this is the low-fat slash high-sugar guidelines to help with heart disease. And then we see that obesity went from 14% up to where it is today. Well, actually, around 2000, at 42% of the adult population is obese. And so what this means then is just adding this breakfast meal, coating the breakfast flakes or whatever you want to call them with sugar has just skyrocketed this obesity. And if you want that to be a marker. And so then the breakfast, the introduction of breakfast then, has become the Trojan horse, which is the wedge to introduce processed foods to the whole diet. I had an uncle who was the youngest of 10 children, which means basically totally indulged. By the time he came along, grandma had just, discipline was not on her list of things to do. And so he ended up eating boxed cereal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And he finally dropped dead at the age of 33 of a heart attack while sitting at the side of the creek fishing. So this issue of boxed breakfast cereal, of this breakfast ritual, is really something to take a hard look at. If you're one of those people who is making sure that you have a healthy breakfast, and then you're wondering why your weight is more than what you would like, most likely it is the breakfast ritual. And so I would suggest, as they say, put that puppy to bed. So in other words, replace breakfast. What should you replace breakfast with? By the way, with all of this breakfast in the morning, start your day with a good breakfast, morning time, more or less 10 o'clock, is the most frequent time for deadly heart attacks. And so, and these people who get these heart attacks are people who often who eat breakfast. So you have to ask yourself then, would skipping breakfast be a help, and how would you change that? So the big issue with heart attacks, of course, is the blood is thick. It just gets too thick for the heart to pump, and you get an obstruction. The answer, of course, is water. So that would be a pint to a quart of water in the morning, period. That is that would solve the problem. So it would solve the processed food problem for most people. Getting rid of breakfast would decrease your processed food by at least 30%, and sometimes even more, because a breakfast meal tends to be more processed. Most people don't realize it, but when you go to a restaurant for a breakfast egg sandwich or for a bagel, those are all processed foods. And so skipping breakfast cuts out those processed foods, improves health, and gets people back, is the quickest way actually to get back on a natural diet. And one thing to point out is these cereals, which are totally unnatural, were marketed as granola. And we have granola today, which is, of course, a processed product that people are eating for breakfast and considering that it's healthy, which, of course, it's not. And so the rise in obesity correlates with the practice of eating breakfast. And now many people think, well, you know, the obesity epidemic is related to sugar. But again, breakfast is very much a sugar-laden meal. And in many cities in the United States, you can find restaurants that literally serve breakfast all day long. And so this is at the seat of a lot of health problems. And breakfast is not the most important meal of the day in terms of your health. It's actually the most important meal of the day in terms of disease. Also, it is the most marketed meal of the day. And as always, you know, our government guidelines jumped on board with that, and, you know, things just went from bad to worse. So that's the obesity issue. And it tracks very nicely. Of course, correlation does not mean cause, but we do know for pretty sure that the breakfast habit caused the dyspepsia. And so when breakfast was lightened up, the dyspepsia diminished temporarily. And then Post and Kellogg came in and entered with their processed food, making a bad situation much worse. Now, just to really drive the point home in terms of guidelines, so breakfast is the most important meal of the day has actually become a guideline. The government's got on board, issued this guideline. It's putting breakfast in schools. And, of course, it's not showing any improvement in the academic performance like it's supposed to. But it is providing business for breakfast food purveyors, and it is breaking up the family, which is already in bad enough trouble. So let's take a look at another guideline. Physical activity. The government has a physical activity guideline. Yes, it does. And it has guidelines for adults, and it has guidelines for children. And so for adults, the guidelines, basically, are to walk between 3 and 7 hours a day. Walk 3 to 7 hours a day. This is for adults. So for an adult, we can say that would be somebody 21 and over. Let's just say, for the sake of discussion. Yeah, or 20 and over, so not a teenager. So that's the adult guideline, is walk 3 to 7 hours a day. Now, what is the guideline for active children and adolescents? They even have an example in case you can't sort out the guidelines, which I have to confess I could not sort out. So we have this fictitious individual, Harold, who's a 7-year-old child. And so this is what they say about Harold. And Harold, by the way, is satisfying all of the government guidelines for activity. So Harold participates in many types of physical activities in many places. For example, during physical education class, he jumps rope and does gymnastics and sit-ups. During recess, he plays on the playground, doing activities that require running and climbing. He also likes to play soccer with his friends and family. When Harold gets home from school, he likes to engage in active play, like playing tag, and ride his bicycle with his friends and family. So Harold gets 60 minutes of activity each day at least moderate intensity, and this is what he does. He walks to school, he plays with his family for 20 minutes, jumps rope for 10 minutes, and does gymnastics 10 minutes. And this is pretty much his pattern throughout the week. Now, what one notices about this is Harold is not walking 3 to 7 hours a week with the adults in his family. No, he isn't. Harold is playing on the playground. Harold is playing at school. And he may play with his family, but apparently he's playing with the other children in his family. And what this does, these particular guidelines, is it separates the adults and children. So all these physical activity guidelines that they're putting out here saying, parents over here, children over there. Ne'er the twain shall meet. And so while the government is decrying the weakness of the family, the lack of parental responsibility, it puts forth exercise guidelines that involve separating the parents and children. The same way the breakfast guideline separates children and their parents at breakfast. So children now have breakfast at school served by adults. I remember when I was a kid, I would go to school, and the teacher would say something, issue some judgment, totally unrelated to whether or not 2 plus 2 equals 4. And I would say in my mind, who do you think you are? You don't feed me. I kept it to myself, but this is what went through my mind. And so now they have children having breakfast at school, and the school is feeding these children. And so when the teacher says something or makes a judgment, what goes through the kid's mind is, oh, these people are feeding me. And so it puts a little more weight on what's happening in school and the orders and directions that are given. So this is actually conditioning and a transition of loyalty away from the family to the government or the school or basically strangers. And so we have here with these seemingly innocuous physical activity guidelines a total separation of the family, whether it's the breakfast is the most important meal of the day guideline or whether it's the exercise guideline. We'll talk more when we come back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Daniels, and welcome back to Healing with Dr. Daniels. Okay, we're talking about basically the concept of government guidelines. In other words, we have this one guideline, which is really, it's so ingrained, you know, breakfast is the most important meal of the day, that just suggesting somebody skip breakfast is met with just incredible, intense objection. And I was even taught in medical school that people should eat 3 meals a day, at least. In other words, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And of course, if they have an ulcer, why, they can eat every 2 hours. But this is information presented as fact, as scientific, for which there is absolutely no scientific evidence. And the scientific evidence points to exactly the opposite. The scientific evidence, epidemiological evidence, suggests that it's breakfast that's responsible for our obesity epidemic. And it suggests that it's breakfast filled with its processed foods. Even people who eat so-called healthy breakfast, their breakfasts are riddled with processed food. They have the rice milk, the soy milk, the oat milk, all of these things packaged. They have the tofu de cuties, the tofu, the marinated tofu, the egg beaters, which are eggs without the yolks. And it goes on and on and on. And so people are pumping themselves full of processed food that's destroying their health, that's making them overweight. Why? Because they believe this propaganda put forth by advertising companies that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. I have had people tell me that they've been trying to lose 20 pounds. They just can't do it. And I say to them, skip breakfast. Substitute 2 cups of water for breakfast. And I'll even ask them, are you hungry when you wake up? And they'll say, no, but I've got to eat breakfast so I can lose weight. And the question is, how is it you can eat more food to lose weight? It's outrageous. So for most people, the best thing they could do for their health would be to abandon breakfast and replace it with a pint or a quart of water, depending on their level of thirst and their weight. The other thing about food is you should only eat when you're hungry. If you're not hungry, don't eat. It's very simple. Even if it's mealtime, it's like a bus. If a bus comes by and stops, but it's not going where you want to go, then don't get on. Catch the next bus. So if you're already skipping breakfast, let's say, lunchtime comes around, you're not hungry, then there's no point in eating that. Have some more water. Now, why do I say have water? Because dehydration is a huge issue. Dehydration can kill you. And dehydration is actually what causes heart attacks. It's actually what causes strokes. And so you should, at breakfast time, eat water. At lunchtime, drink water. And when you're hungry, that's when you eat. Now, your body likes it when you pick a particular time of day to eat. So what's the best meal schedule? I agree with the Romans, once a day. So once a day, around 2, somewhere between noon and 2 p.m., is the best time of day to eat. Digestion is strongest. Your food is going to be digested, assimilated. We'll come back. We'll talk more about that.
I saw you there, just standing there. And I thought I was only dreaming, yeah. I kissed you then, and then once again.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America.
With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at libertystickers.com. Again, that's libertystickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.